You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I talked to Stephen James, who is a director of a documentary called Abacus, Small Enough to Jail. And that documentary has indeed been nominated for an Oscar, which is incredible. It's a great documentary. I watched this film that he made about a small bank in New York, and it's really incredible story. So it was such a privilege to talk to him. And so I started off by asking him sort of, you know, how this story came about, what drew him to the story, why did he think it needed to be told, and what it feels like to be nominated for an Oscar.
It is very exciting. I'm very excited about it. This has kind of been the film. This has been kind of like the little film that could. And when we finished it, I didn't expect all this to happen, but it's been a really pleasant surprise. And a kind of tribute, I think, to the family and the story that we tried to tell.
And I think, yeah, you definitely told it very well. I was sort of interested to know how you became so aware of the story. How did you get in touch with the family, and how this became, news to you?
I heard about the story from producer Mark Mitten, who has known the family for over a decade, and they were telling him what was going on and that a trial was now imminent, and he, you know, heard all this from them and wondered how this could be, and also why no one seemed to be paying attention to it in the press, because it seemed important to him. And so he reached out to me. I've worked with Mark off and on for the last 10 years in various ways, and said, there's this crazy case about to start in New York City where this little Chinatown bank is going to be put on trial, in the only bank in the wake of the 2008 mortgage crisis. And, you know, he spelled out the details of how they had discovered the fraud themselves and tried to cooperate. And I just thought, what a wild and, you know, crazy story. Mm-hmm. And so I went to New York for a few days to film with him and focused on the family. And once I met the family and heard their side of the story, I just thought, you know, this really is a story I want to tell.
Yeah. And obviously you and the producer and now the audience that's seen the film are very much aware of the corruption that went on. And it, you know, it's a, like you say, it's a wild story. Why do you think the press weren't covering this? Or why do you think, you know, this wasn't big news?
I it's a really good question, and I can only speculate because, you know, the New York Times is a venerable institution, and you would think that they would have sort of seen what was at work here in this trial and wanted to cover it, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. What I think was at work here is that they were a small bank. The fraud that was being charged was extremely petty and small. It had nothing to do, despite what Vance said, it had nothing to do with the fraud that went on in 2008. Mm-hmm. Abacus was not engaged in credit default swaps or packaging toxic mortgages or any of that, right? So this was extremely low-level, minor fraud. And it was an obscure little bank in Chinatown, and I think it just didn't rise to the level of seeming to be important. Mm-hmm. There may have been assumptions that, well, they're probably guilty. I mean, why would the DA's office make a big deal of going after a little bank like this if they didn't have really great, strong evidence against them? Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, now in the Chinatown community of New York City, it was big news and covered very closely, but it did not make its way into the mainstream press in any significant degree.
And obviously that element of it's a small bank, and that was sort of surprising that the DA would go after such a small bank with only, you know, six branches. Was there an element of racism there, do you think, because this bank was, you know, a Chinese family bank?
I think there was clearly racism. I think it was the kind of racism that happens much more frequently these days, which is it was unintended. And when I asked Vance about that, when I said, you know, there's a perception in the Chinese community that this prosecution is racist, his answer, which is in the film, is he says, you know, he takes real issue with that, and he says, you know, we didn't treat this bank any differently than we would a South American bank or an Indian bank. And, you know, that answer, I mean, he meant to defend himself there, but in using those two examples, I think it betrays the kind of underlying racism, you know, of looking at these banks differently than you would Bank of America or a white-owned bank. And I think, it really becomes acute when you look at just the indictment itself. When you look at how they chained these individuals together, and they were low-level, mostly ex-bank employees at that point. Mm. They chained them together as if they were public enemy number one, and paraded them down the hallway. And, you know, for people in the Chinese community and their history here in America, that symbol to them was nothing but racist. And then I think it also extended to the way in which the case was tried, that the prosecution chose at every turn to ignore the kind of cultural realities of this community and of immigrants' communities in this position of people clawing their way up the ladder of American society and working in cash economies. They chose to ignore that. They chose to try to make a big deal out of gift letters, which are very traditional in immigrant cultures and particularly in the Chinese culture. And there's nothing nefarious about them. And, you know, I think they really tried to convince the jury that this was just a community and a bank that was rife with fraud and schemers and, bad people.
I was thinking that part you've really highlighted about the cultural differences and how they weren't, respected in the trial. Is this something that, the American justice system and perhaps a lot of other justice systems really need to look more into as we're getting a lot more immigration happening, and America is such a diverse place with so many different cultures? Is that something that needs to be looked at?
Well, yes. I mean, unfortunately, America, when it comes to the justice system, there has always been at least two different standards of the way justice is applied. And generally speaking, if you're poor and not white, there's one kind of justice system. Mm-hmm. And if you're white, there's another kind. And in this case, all of those things applied except the fact that the Sungs aren't poor. And so that's one of the things that made this a distinctive story, too, because they were in a position to fight back, and they did. I think that the DA's office was probably expecting that this would not ultimately go to trial, that they would cave, and they would plead to a felony and a fine. Well, that's why would they plead to a felony and a fine? Well, certainly, why would they plead guilty at all when they really believe they're innocent? But why would they plead to a felony and a fine? The big banks were fined and got off without any kind of felony. And that just shows that the real intent here was to walk away with a conviction. And to me, that was about Vance's ambition more than it was about justice.
So obviously, in the documentary, you interviewed some of the jurors of the trial. How was it about, going about that in terms of legal issues and ethical issues? How did you sort of navigate that?
Well, we couldn't get to them until after the trial was complete. And we had a terrific co-producer named Nick Probitsky who systematically tracked down each of the jurors and pursued interviews with them. We weren't looking to interview all the jurors by any stretch, but we absolutely wanted to make sure that we interviewed, if we could, at least one juror who represented sort of one faction in the jury room of the eight jurors who were more inclined from the beginning to just find them innocent, and then one juror who was part of the four holdout jurors that eventually changed their mind and joined the other eight. And we were fortunate enough to get the two that we did, Roman and Jessica, And I think they add a tremendous amount of understanding to what went on, not just in the jury room, but the ways, the differing ways in which the jurors would look at the same evidence and come to different ideas and conclusions about
Absolutely.
What was going on here.
Mm. And also the way that the judge kind of described what they were supposed to be looking at, I thought was quite interesting. How he asked them to you know, make an indictment. It was just, yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah, the judge was really interesting. We didn't really get to know him, of course, but we did get the sense that he felt like this was an important case. We got the sense that he was supportive of us making the film. And, you know, his instructions to the jury before they went off to deliberate, which was spot on, which was do not bring into your deliberations a desire to punish the big banks from 2008. That has nothing to do with what you are to decide here today. And yet, it was irresistible to at least one of those holdout jurors that, that juror wanted someone to pay for 2008, and it might as well be Abacus.
Yeah. I sort of more on the lighter side of things. I saw that, you know, obviously you interviewed a lot of different members of the family, and I was really taken by Mrs. Sung, and I thought she was such an interesting character. But obviously she's not shown a lot on the film because she's not a huge part of the trial. She's sort of that supportive family member that's sort of worried and doesn't know so much about what was going on in the trial. Can you tell me a little bit more about her?
Yes. Now, she is what we call in the documentary world a gift from the gods. You know, when we started the film, she was not going to be in it. That's the word we got. And since I had not met Mrs. Sung, I had no idea what a loss that would have been to the film if that had remained true. But we cajoled her into doing a single sit-down interview. And based on that, I think we kind of bonded, and I think she was able to kind of take the measure of us and what we were doing, and she then became more cooperative and became more a part of the film at that point. And, you know, she kind of steals the movie in the scenes that she's in because she's both so very funny, of course, but she's also really candid and honest about her feelings, you know. And the stealing of a loss of faith in the wake of what they were being put through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And and the family just as a whole, they're all so individual and unique. Each of the members of the family, each of the daughters is very different from the other.
Irirangi Po, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
So that was director Steve James speaking about his Oscar-nominated documentary, Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, and it is an incredible documentary. I really, really advise going to see it. It's worth every cent. Tickets are $18, and it's on ASB Waterfront Theatre. So if you want to get a ticket, it's asbwaterfronttheatre.co.nz, and it's tomorrow at 1 p.m. as part of the Fraud Film Festival. It's extremely well shot. I didn't know anything about banking, but I came out feeling like a pro, and I was, I really, really recommend stories like this that are small and that don't get a lot of press being told in a really beautiful way is definitely something worth going to look at.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.